It's Danny and Country Corey on 98.1 The Max.
Now, you wanted to talk about athletic director beef.
Oh, yeah.
So, the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, I don't know if this ever happens to you guys where you see two rock stars feuding in their old age, but it is happening right now in college football. As you know, the college football playoff rankings came out last night, 1 through 25. Shout out to the Memphis Tigers, tip of the cap. They made it in at number 25. Officially, they can say they have made those rankings, though it matters not one whit. Now, the top 12 go to the college football playoff, right?
Right.
But there are some qualifications there where conference championships play into that, so it's not necessarily going to be exactly the top 12 who are ranked who are going into that. Now, here's the beef, okay? A couple of teams that are towards the bottom of those rankings in terms of either you're going to get in or you're not have some issues with where they are ranked in that set. Okay, notably, Iowa State, which is still potentially a team that can get into the college football playoff. They have a conference championship game against Arizona State coming up this Saturday.
Right.
If they win that game, they are in. Right? SMU, team like that. SMU happens to be ranked 8th, though, and Iowa State happens to be ranked 16th. SMU,
right.
If they are the ACC champion, they are automatically qualified, but even if they are not the ACC champion, they might still be in the college football playoff because a loss in the championship game to Clemson, which is also well-ranked, they're ranked officially number 17, might not completely torpedo the Mustangs' resume for getting into the college football playoff. So, Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard, who has been there for quite some time, right? This is not his first rodeo as a director of athletics at a power conference school, comes out firing on Twitter. Quote, disappointing that strength of schedule clearly does not matter for SMU, Indiana, and Boise State. The message is clear. Win as many games as you can, regardless of who you play. Time to rethink non-conference scheduling. Very different standards than the basketball committee. End quote. Now, you'll notice he took shots at SMU, Indiana, and Boise State in that little barb. Right.
Just firing shots.
So far, nothing heard from Indiana, nothing heard from Boise State. But, the team that's in a power conference for the first time, SMU, that bought their way in there, decided, oh, we don't like this. We're not used to being taken shots at like this, and we like our record. So, here comes Rick Hart, AD at SMU. Jamie, the first three words, this tells you a lot. Jamie, respect you. No, you don't. Jamie, respect you, but bad take. ISU had North Dakota, Iowa, and Arkansas State in non-conference. SMU had Nevada, along with Houston Christian, TCU, and BYU. Parentheses, and scrambled due to Vandy dropping us from their schedule. SMU was one of two to win all their conference games, one of three to have nine Power Four wins, trailed by a total of 6 minutes in their last nine games. I could go on, .. Stay off my lawn. End quote. Actually ended it with a laughing emoji face, right? Okay, and this is an established white gentleman who is the head of an athletics program in Dallas using that post. This is how you know Rick Hart is telling on himself. It's because when you are the littler guy, or you feel like you're the guy that has to prove yourself, you start coming out with all these justifications that nobody's really looking at, including the parenthetical that, hey, our schedule is better than you think it is, and we had to scramble due to Vandy dropping us from the schedule. Guess what, Rick Hart? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on like that. Respond, right? Just make the best of it. And to be honest with you, what's interesting here is, this is how you know that there's no winner in this. Yes, they played SMU played BYU, Brigham Young University, and lost that game close, right? That was one of the losses they had, and it was probably a good thing because BYU was highly thought of. Notably, BYU and Iowa State share a conference, but they did not play because the conference is so big that you can't play everybody, right? So Jamie Pollard's bunch didn't play one of the teams from their own conference that SMU lost to, which is interesting. That all being said, Jamie Pollard's sitting there, right? He's putting his fingers together, right? Like an Eagle does.
Vanderbilt beat Alabama. If we'd have played them, we could have been the team.
He's thinking, what can I do to respond here in a way that's going to get me off the hook, but also make me look decent, okay? And he found it. You know how you do it? You let somebody else decide. He says, Rick, beat Clemson on Saturday, and I'll respect your ranking. So, A, no, he won't. B, he's going to let somebody else make this decision for him. Okay, he ends the tweet with, Rick, beat Clemson Saturday, and I will respect your ranking. Until then, you did not play Clemson, who's in the CFP, Miami, who's in the CFP, Georgia Tech, and Syracuse, and lost to BYU at home. Looks like your lawn may be artificial. Winky face, tongue sticking out emoji. And that is how he ends the tweet. So clearly, Iowa State and SMU both feel like they got the short end of the stick. Iowa State being the shorter end, at least, you know, from their perspective. But SMU is coming to this with way too much vitriol for a first-year power conference team because people don't think of them as a heavyweight. And I think they're tired of being put upon. And that's their AD getting out there on Twitter and trying to ride for his guys. I get that. But boy, oh boy. I mean, people get in their feels about this stuff. It matters, right? It matters that Memphis went to the Cotton Bowl a couple of years ago. It matters if you get into one of these big games and you're well thought of. But, you know, all the hand-wringing and the, you shouldn't be there and we should be. Guys.
Tyler's fired up.
We haven't even said the word Alabama on this program yet, and that probably ignores the biggest discussion this week. But I just wanted to make sure that you knew that there were two middle-aged white gentlemen fighting about this on Twitter because that's important to their day.
There is every year, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, whether they're on television or off, they're fighting about it somewhere, right?
Right.
They might be fighting about it at a water cooler somewhere, but just so you know.
At an Applebee's somewhere the guys in the parking lot.
The guys who are in charge of big-time college athletic programs, some of them are not different from you at all. They have the same concerns. That is, I just love how Americana that is. We're all just fighting about the same things.
It's just crazy to me, and this is like if you look at these conference championships, like a number 10 Boise State could get a bye.
Yep.
I mean, and even lower than that, if Clemson beats MSU, Clemson's in, right?
Yeah.
With a bye.
If you, top four, right, conference champions, right, are the ones that get bye. Like the fifth-ranked conference champion, which people think, you know, well, maybe that's going to be Boise State.
Did they change conferences?
Boise State's still in the Mountain West.
So they got passed up in 04, 06, 08, another one in undefeated. What changed on that then?
Well, Boise State, I mean, they, a lot of this reorganization, right, comes from, I think, profile. And I think people look at Boise and say, well, that's not like, yeah, they have, like, some good athletics in terms of, like, football. Their men's basketball has been feisty the last couple of years. But I think people look at them as, again, this is usually a market size discussion, Danny, if you're not from a power conference. And I don't think people respect necessarily the television market that is or isn't Boise, Idaho. They are up there. They're in all the discussions just like Memphis, right? In terms of like, are you going to be are you going to add something to our conference, right? Are you one of the, like, sort of the puncher-uppers from the middle tier, quote-unquote, of college sports and college football in particular that can bring something to a power conference rather than just sort of a lay-down, lame-duck team? But Boise State now is part of that reorganization, I believe, of the Pac-12 that's happening with Oregon State and Washington State. So, like, they're being given their due there in terms of, like the reorganization of the Pac-12, that's, and, you know, geographically that makes more sense for them rather than, you know, bringing in Memphis. But am I answering your question in terms of like where they're positioned?
They went undefeated for so many years and got passed up. I just, you know, that was 15 years ago, but why are they now all of a sudden a powerhouse where no one cared when they won every single game of the season, never invited to a bowl?
Well, this time they lost to Oregon close, right? And Oregon's the number one ranked team. So I think people see that and say, well, that's your only loss. And if you win a conference championship, and they have Ashton Jeanty, who is the running back that has cleared 2,000 yards this season. That's like he is, if not the odds on favorite, I would say the second in line for the Heisman Trophy this year. So what you've done is two things. One, as a small conference school, you've done basically as much as you can do. You're in your conference championship game. Your only loss is to the number one team in the country, and you have a Heisman Trophy candidate. Those three things, I think, are part of what has built up Boise State's profile in this particular season to get it to where it is right now.
Should we do away with conference games?
Should we do away with conference games?
Conference championships, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are certainly people making the comment that, why should we be penalized, right, if we went 11-1?
Hey, Alabama did it a ton of times. I can't tell you how many times we lost that championship game and it knocked us out of a bowl.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And there's no rhyme or reason, Danny, for why it does or why it doesn't and when it should count and when it shouldn't count, right? Like Notre Dame that doesn't play a conference championship game, right, is always sitting at home this week. And the teams that unfortunately have to play this week, I honestly think it should be a little bit more done, I guess, to what Jamie Pollard's point was, like the NCAA tournament basketball committee, where you get to the conference tournament at the end of the season, right? That final week of the season before Selection Sunday, that, yeah, you're going to play a couple of games there, and maybe you'll go on a run and like NC State did and win five games in five nights, and you get the automatic qualifying bid. But your season
is over.
Should stand on what you've already done.
Yeah, like, because then you got 13 games and everybody else has got 12.
The issue here is in basketball, you have played your entire conference at that point, right? Like you have, everybody has seen everybody, and the data right. points for football are such that people are building these conferences out where you can play like Iowa State play we just talked about. They did not play BYU, and they share a conference with BYU, right? And BYU is not in the conference championship game. So when you talk about basketball, you can usually see who has matched up, and you know based on the strength of your regular season, like championship, quote unquote, right? Who's the best team in the conference? But when you don't play the other team in your right. conference that has the same record as you, that's the whole reason we're sitting here, Danny, having this discussion on Tuesdays and Wednesdays throughout the fall, is because these conferences are so big now that they don't play everybody in that conference. So now we have to guess at who's going to be actually a better candidate for the postseason. And the answer is sometimes, like, we know, sometimes we don't know. Some teams are better in terms of forward looking. Some teams are better in terms of backward looking, right? Like last year, Florida State, obviously, famously mm-hmm. left out of the playoff picture because they lost their quarterback, even though the strength of their resume should have put them in. You know, now we won't know what they would have looked like had they had less of a what's the word I'm looking for, like bloodletting, or less of a sort of a mass exodus from the program,
right?
That they had during bowl season, which really hurt them in terms of their bowl expectations and their result against Georgia, right? But you can't argue with the fact that you also had a 4-team college football playoff last year that was highly compelling because they put in a team that had a quarterback, not Florida State. So you can be on every side of the aisle, you know, depending on the hour of the day.
Did they? Tyler Springs has joined us, the radio voice for the University of Memphis women's basketball team, student of college athletics. Is there any scenario where you look at Texas and Georgia, the SEC championship game, is there any scenario that the loser of that game gets knocked out of the playoff?
I think they're probably too highly ranked at this point. I mean, you would have to see something where one of these teams got absolutely waxed. And the problem is Georgia is the lesser ranked team. They already played Texas this year when Texas was number one at Texas and beat them by 15 points. And yet Georgia, because of their results in other games, is ranked below Texas. And this is why it sort of boggles the mind, right, between those two teams. If Georgia beats Texas twice, how far does Texas fall from the number two ranking? Because they're losing to the number five ranked team in the country. Like, how bad is that, right? So I think I don't really see a scenario in which either one of those teams, maybe if Texas gets one over on Georgia in something like 56-7 fashion, then, right. then it really changes the picture. And you vault in a team like, I don't know, Miami, you know, or somebody like that. But again,
Georgia could definitely drop, though. That's why I'd much rather be Tennessee than Georgia.
Because nothing bad can happen to you as Tennessee, in theory, because you're not playing this week, right?
Correct.
You at least don't do yourselves notable disservices, in theory, because you're not playing. I guess that's
so
true.
So is it possible then, right now, as it stands, Tennessee is scheduled to go to Ohio State. Is there any way that could change?
I think people think that Tennessee and Ohio State should switch places. Am I the person to tell you what the math needs to be in order for that to happen? No. I think that it would be very difficult for those two to flip-flop, but I think you could very easily flip-flop them, and they could have been flip-flopped in a lot of other considerations. Like, there are scenarios in which they would have come to the table with Tennessee as the 8 team and Ohio State as the 9 team, especially because I'm not sure that Tennessee has a loss on its card as bad as Ohio State losing their rivalry game against Michigan, right? Because Michigan was not that good of a team this year. So the problem here, I think, if you're a Tennessee fan, is the initial ranking right now, right? Not what you're seeing going into championship, you know, or what you're seeing going into championship week, and the fact that it really can't change from here. I mean, Tennessee losing to Arkansas at Arkansas, not great, right? But is that as bad a loss as Ohio State losing the last game of the year to Michigan? It's tough, you know. I think that's why they're 8-9. You know.
Okay, another question.
Because I think there, and this is just because I'm an Alabama fan, but that rivalry week, all records go out the window.
Yep.
Well, that's what everybody says. Yeah, it is.
So, I you know, I do not think it's, I think it's a worse beat against Arkansas than I do against Michigan.
It's a worse loss to lose to Arkansas than it is.
Because
that at rivalry week, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And Arkansas was just a random Saturday.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Well, now I hear what you're saying on that. But we have yet to hear from the committee that they value a rivalry week win, right, more than a win over sort of a run-of-the-mill team during the regular season. Also because your rival's not always good, right?
Well, and that's where you got to go back to what these two first ADs were talking about. There's a whole team of people obviously looking at the strength of every schedule. So just shut up. I mean, it's an opinion, of course, but they're not just sitting there willy-nilly. They are sitting there with some kind of point system.
Yeah, with criteria.
Yeah, to make sure that they have the strength of each schedule in mind.
Well, they are. I think they are trying. I would say people who are not Alabama fans would question how hard they are trying in order to put in a brand that's not used to being in the playoff picture.
You want to make money or not? Roll Tide.
One more question: is there a scenario Ole Miss gets in? Please say no.
I don't think so. I think because you would have to have a lot happen, I think, in order for them to get in, even though they have a strong resume, right? People look at their loss to Kentucky at home as a bad one. I think, you know, frankly, like, people would say Miami is in before Ole Miss, right? And you can make the argument between Ole Miss and South Carolina. Many have this week. I don't have to make it here on the radio, but I would say they're not first in line, Corey. Like, that's, I think that's where I'm coming from is here. Right. Like, that they are not first in line, and the things that are set, unfortunately, the precedent, like what's established, is hard to break, especially if you're not playing.
All of a sudden, the SEC championship should matter to Lane Kiffin.
That is funny. Especially if you've never won one.
Tyler Springs is the radio voice for the University of Memphis women's basketball team. Tyler, always a pleasure to have you in, buddy.
You got it, buddy.